Well, praise God. As we talked about earlier, God wants to have that personal relationship with us, and he'll go to great lengths to touch us and to talk to us and to be with us. Let's turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 6 to start with this evening. We've been, as you know, we've been praying for the Great Awakening. We've been praying for a great move of God. We're believing God to move here in a great move and in a great awakening in this place. The United States needs to awaken unto God, and we're believing that it's going to happen right here in this place. So praise God. And I just wanted to share a couple scriptures with you and then talk a little bit about grabbing hold of God. It's going to be hard because I can't stand still. I'm sorry. Okay, 2 Chronicles 6, verses 19 and 20. It says, "Yet regard the prayer of your servant." This is Solomon praying after they had built the temple, or right when they were building the temple. And he says, "Yet regard your prayer. Regard the prayer of your servant and his supplication, O Lord my God, and listen to the cry and the prayer which your servant is praying before you, that your eyes may be opened towards this temple day and night, towards this place where you said you would put your name, and that you would hear the prayers which your servant makes towards this place." And, that is one of the things that we've been praying here, that God would come and abide in this place, that he would choose this as a place that he would dwell, and that he would hear our cry, and that he would hear our call, and that he would come and fill this place with his glory, and that he would abide here, and he would stay here, and that he would be here whenever we came together, that God would be in this place. That's our desire, and that's our cry to God. And in 2 Chronicles 7, 15 and 16, and this is the end of the prayer that we all, "If my people who are called by name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways and hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sins and heal their land." He says, "Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to prayer made in this place. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually." God wants to be here. He wants to be in this place. And, we know that this was the temple, and this is a place that was specifically built so that God would come. But, this is a place, I believe, that this is a place that God specifically built, that his name would be here forever, that his eyes would be upon this place at all times. I believe that because of the history that you all know about, with the woods and the things that have happened in our ancestors from this church, not personally our bloodline ancestors, but those that have gone before us in the walk of Christ, those ancestors that were in this place, and that this place is, has a ancient well. It has a well that has been dug by the ancients or by those in past times, and is a place that God has chosen to dwell, and it's a place that he has set his name upon. And I believe that that is absolutely true about this place. What am I doing wrong? But it takes more than a few praise the Lords and a hallelujah to get to this place. And, I thank God that we have a better covenant than those of the Old Testament. But, it does take more than just a couple praise the Lords and a couple hallelujahs, and let's just move on from that place. So, do I need to switch? I can do that.
Said to him, "What do you want me to do?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabboni, that I may receive my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Let's look at Matthew chapter 9. I'm going to pull all of these together here in a minute, but I want us to look. Chapter 9, Matthew 9, verse 20. And suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. For she said to herself, "If only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well." But Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, "Be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well." And the woman was made well from that hour. All right, let's look at Luke chapter 7. Luke 7:39. Now when the Pharisees who had invited him, this is a Pharisee who had invited Jesus, saw this, he spoke to him saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would know whom and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." So he said, "Teacher, say it." "There is a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more?" And Simon answered, "I suppose the one whom he forgave the more." And he said to him, "You have rightly judged." Then Jesus turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house, and you gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little." And then he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." And those who sat at the table with him began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" And then he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Now this is just three examples of Jesus changing the lives of people. And in these three examples, we always examine, we always look at these, and we always talk about their faith has made them whole. But, you know, in all of these cases, Jesus touched them. And their faith was involved here. I don't want to say that that's not important, but we always hone in on the fact that their faith has made them whole. But what made the difference in their lives that the many others that Jesus passed by or had association with? What was the difference in the lives of these people that was different than anybody else that may have passed him? And it was their faith, but I want to look at something just a little bit further than that. Because they pushed beyond the circumstances of the place to some place further than where they were. I mean, it was their faith, but, you know, they went beyond that realm of it was just a faith action. Each one of them, blind Bartimaeus crying out and people saying, "Be quiet," but he continued to push a little further. Push in, just he wanted to be touched by God. And the same with Simon and this woman. This was a sinner. She could have been stoned for being there. I mean, for her being in Simon's house, because they knew that she was a prostitute. They knew, you know, that this woman was not supposed to be around them to this extent. But yet, here she was in this house, and Jesus was allowing it, you know. And what made her different than anybody else in the house was not that her sins were great, or that her faith was great, or that Jesus said these things, but that she pushed beyond the circumstances of the normal. She went beyond what the normal realm would have been, because most women in those days would never have gone there, would have never pushed to that extent for fear of death, you know, to being taken out and scorned and possibly stoned to death for their behavior. And yet she came and was was there. And the same way with the issue, the woman with the issue of blood. She was not, by rabbinical law, allowed to be out in public. That was just not allowed. And so she pushed beyond that circumstance. She went that extra to get to Jesus. And she says, I know if I can but touch him, he'll heal me. They push beyond the circumstances to have that extra. And it's not just faith without works, it's dead, I'm talking about. We would throw that in there, that faith without works was dead. And so they were putting faith, works to their faith that brought them to this place. But this was beyond the faith without works. They pushed beyond the natural to get into the supernatural. They pushed from the circumstances that they were in into a different realm in order to touch Jesus. They refused to quit until they were touched by God. And that is so extraordinary. In our church, we have praise and worship, and we'll just talk about here. And we try to push to the point that we touch God. And we won't find this in a lot of churches or a lot of places. And it's a relatively new experience for most people. There are churches that are moving into praise and worship in the last 10 years and so on. And they are experiencing these things as we have been for 20 years. We've been doing this for 20 or 25 years. There is something more than just even where we are at, And a couple weeks ago or a month ago, I talked about praise and worship, and most of you were here for that, and how, we have to have praise before we can worship God. God has to come into the building before he can touch us. We have to praise until God shows up. And then when God shows up, we can worship him. Well, this is almost the same thing that I'm talking about here tonight, is that these people went beyond just the faith realm, that they were putting works to their faith, but beyond that, because they all overcame circumstances that were way beyond just the natural. I mean, the women both could have been stoned to death. And the blind man, Bartimaeus, he just kept crying out, Son of David, have mercy on me. He wasn't willing to quit. He wasn't willing to, even when the people said, shut up, be quiet. And a lot of times, the devil will do that to us during praise and worship. He'll tell us, be quiet, just shut up, you're getting out of line. But we have got to push beyond where we are. Even for us, we have got to push beyond that comfortable feeling that, oh, Jesus is in the room, to the point that we are touching God and that God touches us back. And we have got to get ourselves to that point where we are having God to touch us. Amen. Let's look at Genesis chapter 32. I kind of referenced this earlier tonight. Genesis 32:24. Genesis 32, starting at verse 24. It says, then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. When it says when he saw that he did not prevail, whoever this was that he was wrestling with, whether it be Jesus, an angel, God, whoever you would choose to think that this is, Jacob wasn't willing to let him go. He held on to him. When he says he prevailed again, he couldn't get away from him. He couldn't get loose from him. And so he touched his hip and threw it out of joint. And then it says in 26, and he said, let me go, for day breaks. But he said, Jacob says, I will not let you go unless you bless me. So he said to him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and men and have prevailed. I want to just stop there for a minute, what is interesting here is that he says, I'm not letting you go until you bless me. I'm just not going to do it. You know, and we get in praise and worship, and we get that very comfortable feeling, and we know, and God moves. He comes in, and you kind of get that, oh, God is here. And we just kind of stay there, and we don't push a little further. And one example is that a couple weeks ago, God had moved in and during praise and worship, and Pastor Gordon was ministering to some people. And after he ministered to this one person, he come back up on the platform, everybody just kind of quit. And it was sort of like, well, God has done what he's going to do, and now he's done, and so we'll just quit. And yet I know that there are people here that could have used a touch from God other than this one person. And we did not prevail with him. We did not hold on to him. We just said, oh, it's nice that God, and it is nice when God comes like that. It is nice. It's real refreshing in your heart and your spirit. Even your flesh feels refreshed and uplifted. But yet, God wants more. But unless we want more, he can't give more. He can't do more. Because we have to want the more. And so, you know, it says here that Jacob said, I'm not letting you go until you bless me. And what I think is very interesting here in verse 28, he says, and what is your name? And in verse 28, he says, your name is no longer called Jacob, but Israel. And you know what I see in this is that Jacob got a double blessing. Because Jacob used his name, and it is used throughout the scripture as Jacob in many places. But in many places, it is also used as Israel. He got a double blessing from God. He got double from God. Because he would not let go. And we've got to be tenacious enough that we're not going to let go until God blesses us. And then and in verse 29, it says, and then Jacob asked, saying, tell me your name, I pray. And he said, why is it that you ask my name? And he blessed him there. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life has been preserved. What also is interesting here is, see, when we look at this, we think that the blessing that Jacob got was that he saw God face to face, and he lived. That was not the blessing that Jacob got. Jacob did get to live, and he did see God face to face, which I think is so cool that he saw him face to face. If this was Jesus, he had a born again experience with him in the old covenant. Jacob had that experience with Jesus, that he saw him face to face and he was changed. And that is so cool. That is so cool. But that in itself is not the blessing that Jacob got. And so we always think of Jacob, when we hear the name of Jacob, and we always think of Jacob was the heel catcher. The heel catcher. And you know, this is really true. When you think of it in the context of this scripture, he grabbed a hold of God's heel and he would not let go. He was not willing to let go until God blessed him. So he was the heel catcher. Even though he was the heel catcher concerning his brother, his name was so apropos because he grabbed a hold of God and he wouldn't let him go until he's blessed. Because he grabbed a hold of Esau's heel so that he could be blessed. Jacob understood the blessing of God. Even in the womb, he understood that there was a blessing that came from knowing God. And we have got to grow in that. And see, it's not good enough to just be blessed. We need to be like Jacob and grab a hold of God and not let him go until we get that double blessing, till we get both blessings. We get a blessing from the natural and we get a blessing in the supernatural. Because that's what Jacob and Israel represent to me. That Jacob is a natural man, but Israel was the spiritual man that God created. And it, and we can look at that throughout the scriptures. And let's turn to Psalm 105. And in the scriptures, it talks a lot about Jacob and Israel, especially in the Psalms. I'm going to give you a couple scriptures here. Psalms 105. Let's start at verse 6. It says, O seed of Abraham, his servant, you children of Jacob, his chosen ones. Isn't that neat? There's the natural blessing. His children were blessed. His seed, they were called chosen one. And we know that because we know that Jacob was the father of the five tribes of Israel. So that was a natural blessing right there. That wasn't necessary. I mean, it was a spiritual blessing, but that was a definite natural blessing. Can you imagine that you know, when it talks about Abraham being the father of the Hebrew nation, it was actually Jacob who was the real father of the nation, because all of the generations started with Jacob and the 12 tribes, although they had to have Abraham to get it started. But you know that even in the scripture, it talks about that he would be the father of the nations. I didn't write these down, but you search this out. You can find that Jacob, also God had told him that your seed shall be the seed of the generations of all the of all of Israel, and that he told him your seed will be as like the stars in the skies and the sands of the sea. And so it was the same exact blessing that he gave to Abraham. Jacob got the same. But let's go on. It says, the seed of Abraham, his servant, you children of Jacob, his chosen one. He is the Lord your God. His judgments are on all the earth. He remembers his covenant forever. The word which he commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant that he made with Abraham, his oath to Isaac, he confirmed it to Jacob, a statute, and to Israel as an everlasting covenant. See, Jacob got a double blessing there. Even in the Psalms here, we see it. Jacob, his oath was confirmed as a statute to Jacob, but also for Israel is an everlasting covenant. That one is a spiritual and one is a natural. God is just saying that Jacob gets a double blessing. Why did he get a double blessing? He refused to let go of God. He refused to let, when he was wrestling with God, he refused to let go until God doubly blessed him. And now it, you know, you can read through the scriptures and say, well, you know, but it's, you look at it and it's right there. Let's turn to Hosea chapter 12. Hosea chapter 12. Verse 2, it says, the Lord also brings a charge against Judah and will punish Jacob according to his ways. According to his deeds, he will recompense him. He took his brother by the heel in the womb, and in his strength he struggled with God. Yes, he struggled with an angel and prevailed. He wept and sought favor from him, and he found him in Bethel. And there he spoke to us, that is, the Lord God of hosts. The Lord is his memorable name. And so you, by the help of your God, return. Observe mercy and justice and wait on the Lord continually. You see here, it tells the whole story right there. And yes, Jacob did do some things. A lot of them did a lot of things that they shouldn't have done. And that, you know, and God, punished them for that, or he brought their deeds to light. But he's talking here about how he wept and he got the favor of God, and that he God blessed him in a wonderful way. And because he waited on God to come and to bless him. He, you know, and it's not the same kind of, well, we'll sit here and wait for God. He held on to God, and he wasn't going to let go until God blessed. He was willing to wait all day. I mean, it wasn't just a night. He was willing to hold on to God and wait until God blessed him. and he did bless him. Some other scriptures, and I'm not going to read these, but you can look at these. It talks about Jacob and Israel, and it's Psalms 147:19, Psalms 22:22-23, and it just talks about the blessing of God in that Jacob and Israel both, you know, how that he was doubly blessed because he just absolutely would not let go of God. Let's turn to Psalms 26. I'm sorry, Psalms 27. Psalms 27, verse 8. It says, "And when you said, 'Seek my face,' my heart said to you, 'Your face, Lord, I will seek.'" You know, seek here means that we will search it out by any method and that we will strive after it. You know, and that's what we have to learn to do in praise and worship and just in our everyday life. And, you know, a lot of times we'll seek out God and we'll strive for him when we're in times of trouble. But we need to learn how to live in this. And I especially want us to think about this for our times of worship and our times of praise and worship. When we come together in church, not even just the singing part, but when we come together, that we will strive after God, that we'll catch a hold of him and we will not let him go until he touches us. You know, and to what lengths will we go to get God to touch him, to touch us, and we touch him and then he touches us? At what lengths will we go to? You know, we are so human and we don't really like to sweat and we don't like to put out a whole lot of effort and we love it when God comes, but it takes something more than where we're at. And I believe that we need that in these times and these days. And I think that God is drawing us and he's wooing us to come into his presence. And it may feel a bit uncomfortable because I'm quite sure that the blind Bartimaeus may have felt uncomfortable. The woman that came and anointed God, Jesus, and the woman with the issue of blood. We know that Jacob was uncomfortable, but even the first three, their circumstances made it a bit uncomfortable for them. But they pushed beyond where they were to get that blessing from God. They weren't satisfied for Jesus to just pass by. And, you know, and that hopefully maybe as he passes by, you know, we'll sense his presence, or that maybe the anointing will be strong enough that something will happen. You know, and because we live in a better covenant than they had, we are too often and too quick to feel that presence and then dismiss it in a way and not prevail with God that we want more. I'm guilty, and I know that there is more, and that, you know, I've got to go to a better, to a more length, more strength, more reaching for God than where I'm at. And God is, I think he's wooing us and telling us, trying to get us to come to that place. Because, you know, when the great awakening happens, when that move of God begins to pour out, we're going to see some fantastic things. We're going to see some supernatural things that we have not ever seen or known. And when we think about, we can go back and we can think about, you know, Job, and we think about David and Abraham and those people who saw Jesus and knew his day and rejoiced and confessed about it. You know, that was a supernatural happening. I mean, and just like Gordon had said, you know, in India, Jesus is appearing to these people and talking to them and they are becoming born again. And won't it be wonderful? I mean, we don't need Jesus to appear to us to be born again, but we may need him to appear to us to be healed, to be delivered. He may need to appear in order for other people to be drawn in, but we have to create such an atmosphere of not letting him go that God will appear and that God will come, even if it isn't even in an appearance of such, but in such power in the place that God cannot be denied. But it will take us prevailing with God. We don't have to fight with God. We don't have to wrestle with him. He wants to come. But we have to push on to that extra measure that God will come and fill this place in a supernatural power. You know, that there will be some kind of supernatural manifestation of God in this place. And sometimes I think when you say stuff like that, and I think there are people who sit in our pews that might frighten. You know, that if there would happen to be a super, we all say, oh yes, that would be so great if that happened. But when it happens, there is going to be people who are not ready for that. So, you know, we have to be ready. And we have to not back off when it begins to happen, because we got to continue to prevail with God. He'll catch, grab a hold of him and strive with him until every single time we get together, so that his manifestation will fill this place. There are great manifestations that have happened and are supernatural things. There's clouds, there's lightning, and as I've told you, I think I've said before, there's been meetings where it's actually rained inside of the building. You know, that is an outpouring of God. You know, and there's all kinds of different kinds of manifestations that God will come and pour out his glory. He may even come and appear, who knows. But we, you know, until we want him that much, he's not going to come. And we've got to want more than just feeling good about when he does come, because he does. There is a certain amount of manifestation that we are having right now, that God comes and you can feel the presence of God when he moves in. But there is more. God is greater than just a feeling. There is more of him that he wants to do, and we've seen it in the great healing revivals. You know, that there may not have been rain or thunder or clouds, but there was a healing movement going on that God just would heal people. And people would just be totally and miraculously healed. I mean, limbs grown out, eyes and cancers healed and girders dropped off and just miraculous things happening. But people came with the expectation that God was going to do that. That he was going to do more than just come and give us a nice feeling. So we need to prevail with God. Many times we touch God's glory, but we don't go to the place where he touches us. And that's what we need to do. We need to push beyond the place where God comes in and we feel good. But we've got to go to that place where God begins to touch us. Because there is a difference. There is most definitely a difference than us touching God and then God touching us. And we have come to the place where we touch God. And it's time to move beyond that and get into that realm where God touches us. So I just want to encourage us. We're a very small crowd tonight, but I want to encourage us to determine in yourself that you want to be in that place, that you know that there's more of God. You know there's more. Do you know there's more of God? Okay. You're all kind of looking at me, but you know there's more than what we're at. So we have touched God, but now we've got to get God to touch us. And that means that we may have to grab a hold of him and not let him go. And like I said, it feels good when we touch God, but we've got to go beyond that and just absolutely insist that he will touch us. Amen? Amen. Well, let's stand up. Praise you, Jesus. I praise God, and I thank God for what he's doing, because it is quite obvious that he is doing something in this church. I mean, he is touching the lives. And even when people come up, like this morning we had someone come forward for prayer for healing. And I want this place to be so full of power that when they come forward and say, I need healed, that that you touch them and instantly they would be healed. That's the kind of power I want in this place. But we have to strive with God. I mean, please do not take that wrong. We are not fighting with God. We're not wrestling with God. God wants to come. But he has to know that we really want him. Because there were many people in the crowd when the woman with the issue of blood, there were many people in that crowd that he touched, and they touched him, and that he passed by. But only one pushed beyond the circumstances that they were in. Only one woman, one out of the multitude, it says. And I'm not sure what a multitude is, but I'm sure it's more than 20. You know, that there was a large group of people, and only one pushed, prevailed with God. She pushed beyond the realm of, wow. You know, and that's what we get awestruck with God. You know, he comes in and we go, oh, wow, isn't God great? Ooh, I can feel God. And I'm guilty too. You know, I feel the presence of God. There's more. We got to push till we grab a hold of God. She was a heel catcher. She grabbed a hold of God and she says, if I touch him, I know he's going to heal me. You know? And that's the same way with Bartimaeus. If I cry out enough, he's going to have to stop and do something. And that's what we need to do. If we cry out enough, God, you will come. He will. He will hear our cries, and he will come. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, Father God, we praise you tonight. We thank you, Father, that you do want to touch us. And Father, we want to be touched by you. We want your presence in this place. We want your power in this place, God. Father, we don't want to just read about it and hear about it in other places. God, we want to be a place that you dwell and that you will come and touch your people. That there will be salvations and deliverances and healings, Lord God, and that your manifested power would be in this place so that we can see it and hear it and touch it, God, and that you will touch us. Oh, Father God, that people will come to know Jesus. This will be a place that'll be just that they'll just be drawn here, Lord God, because they know that God is in this place. Father, we desire you more than life itself. Father, we want you. We want everything that you have for us. We desire it, Lord God. And so, Father, we praise you. We thank you for that power. We thank you, Lord God, for your power in this place. We want you, God. We want more of you, God. We give you glory and praise and thanksgiving, God. Oh, we worship you tonight and thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you for your power. Thank you, Father God. We worship you and praise you, God. Father, we want more of you. We want your manifested presence. More of you, Lord God. We want you to touch us. Oh, Father God, not just for healing, not just for deliverance. We want a touch of God. We want to be changed like Jacob was changed, Father God. We want to be changed, God, to be new people in you, Lord God. Oh, we worship you tonight, God. We worship you, God, and we thank you, God. Thank you, God. We want more of you, Lord God. We praise you, God. We worship you. We want to be like the priest in the temple, Lord God, that you would just come in such power, Lord, that we could not stand in your presence, but we would know that you are here, God. Oh, we worship you and thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. We praise you. We give you glory and thanksgiving, Father. Praise you, God. It's in Jesus' name we thank you and praise you. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.